Blog Talk Radio.
Hattie Hollingsworth, Boss the Movement, and Vertical Leap.
but I wanted to say that because you have to practice being excited and enthusiastic. You can't always go by how you feel, and sometimes we just don't feel excited. Sometimes we don't feel enthusiastic. Sometimes we just don't feel at all. But we have to know that we have to control our emotions. We have to be master of our emotions. We can't go by the feelings. And so every week when I sign into this studio on Thursday evenings, I'm excited. I am excited because I feel honored and privileged to that God would see fit to use me as a vessel to bring forth his word to his people. Amen. I feel excited that maybe someone listening in on tonight may not know God. They may not have a relationship with God. He may have been something that they just heard about. And I get excited that he will bring forth a word and that he planned to have that person on this show at this time because they need to hear this word. And just perhaps by hearing this word, they'll be begin to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, and they'll be willing to give their lives to Christ. Amen. Because that's what it's really about. The Great Commission is about us going out into all the nations and telling the good news. And what's that good news? That good news is Jesus. Amen. And so I'm excited to be one that has been saying yes. Not that I'm perfect. Oh, my God. I am human through and through. And sometimes I just be in amazement that God was willing to use me, a wreck, you know, the wreck, you know, it's a song that says, oh, God, I can't think of it, but it's who saved a wretch like me, amen? And so I'm just excited that God was willing to use me, that he took me and said, yes, I'll use you, and I'm honored, amen? So, again, I want to welcome each and every one of you on the show on tonight. Hopefully you all can hear me well, and there's no hiccups. If there at any time during my broadcast on tonight, if it gets pretty, if it gets, you know, you hear glitches, please dial 1 on your dial pad, and then that'll let me know that maybe you're having some difficulty hearing me on tonight. Again, I want to welcome each and every one of you in the studio on tonight. I am excited. Tonight's message is cleansing from the inside out. Cleansing from the inside out. I am going to begin to read. This is the time where most people miss their blessing because a lot of us don't want to focus, attend. A lot of us are anxious. We got 1,000 things on our mind. And unfortunately, when we come before God, and I'm not God, but whatever that presence is, whether it's church or Bible study or even coming in to listen to this broadcast, we don't prepare our minds to be still, and hear the message. Not the messenger, but the message. What is God saying to each of us on tonight? What is it that he wants us to get? Because otherwise, just listening in is great, is good for numbers, but what are you getting? What is he telling you? Can you hear him through the message? Amen. What does he want you to know on tonight? What is it that God wants you to know on tonight? And I believe that the word of God is all we have. That's what we have to stand on. It's the word of God that it's the word of God is life and it's productive. It's the word of God that comes in and begins to cleanse and cut off that's not pleasing to God. And as long as we're sending the word of God, that word will begin to transform us. It'll begin to change us. You know, you could tell believers, babies in Christ, because they don't want to read the word of God. Why? Because it makes them sleepy. It's boring. They don't want to focus attend. And it becomes boring and they fall asleep and they find, you know, little to no value in it, or they might fall asleep, but they hear one particular little scripture, and then they'll hold on to that, and that's great, but at some point, we have to grow. At some point, milk is not enough. We need meat, and this is the time of meat. I'm going to read the Word of God, and I'm going to set the foundation of where we're going on tonight. Amen. And so I'm going to take us into, let's see here. If you get your pens and papers, I always tell you to have your pens and paper because that's important to where we're going to be going on tonight. That's important to all the steps that we want to take to growth. Amen. Okay, so we are already starting at Matthew chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. Sounds like a lot, but I'm going to go through quick. Hang in there. Don't get bored. I'm going somewhere with this. So we're going to lay the foundations, Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of man.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Father, we just ask you into the studio on tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this rhema word that you will bring forth on tonight for revelation. Father God, that we could take this word and apply it and begin to be transformed. Father, we thank you for everything that you have for us on tonight. And Lord, we are listening with expectation, Father, to receive all that you have in Jesus' name. So God is saying to us here, and he's talking about the Pharisees, and we know that the Pharisees was the spirit of religion, and we know that Jesus loathed the spirit of religion, and we see the spirit of religion didn't stop during those days, but the spirit of religion is still going forth on today. We see it daily. We see it every Sunday. We see it on Wednesdays. We see it. It don't matter what day of the week, we see the spirit of religion. And it's unfortunate, the spirit of religion, because the spirit of religion is not fooling anyone but the person who's operating in the spirit of religion. And it also fools those who do not know not to operate in the spirit of religion. Amen? So tonight, we want to talk about cleansing from the inside out. We want to talk about those things that we all operate in. We may not be operating in the full set of the spirit of religion, but we still operate with some stuff. We got some stuff inside of us. How do we know we have some stuff inside of us? We're tested daily. What's the test? When we get angry, when something doesn't go according to plan, how do we respond? When we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off, how do we respond? When we're standing in the grocery store in line and somebody seems to pull out every coupon under the creation, how do we respond? When our children are not doing what we're expecting for them to do, how do we respond? See, that's the stuff that God is talking about, the defile, the stuff that comes from the inside out, the stuff that comes out the heart. You know, the Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's that defile stuff. That's that ugly stuff that we're talking about on tonight. And what I would like to do on tonight, and I believe that God has given me permission, is I want to take us through 7 steps to cleansing our minds. Because we know that when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about that muscle that pumps blood, but it's talking about the mind of man. We know that the battlefield is in the mind, and this is where the enemy battles with us. It's in our minds. And so we're going to cleanse our minds, because as we begin to cleanse our minds, then we will be able to control. We will be able to dictate what's coming out of it. Amen? It's just like in the natural, in your body. If you in the natural in your body are not eating a proper diet, if you in the natural in your body is not exercising and you're putting all this garbage in and you're not taking time to cleanse and exercise, then what happens? We begin to see what's on the inside begins to come on the outside. It comes out through odor. It may come out through obesity. We begin to see fat. There's so many different things, health issues, diabetes, high blood pressure, and the list goes on of ailments that we begin to see. And that's stuff that's coming from the inside to the outside, amen? So we're going to begin to cleanse the mind, and we're going to take you through steps. Again, if you have a pencil or paper, you got your little notepad on your phone, take notes, because you're going to want to go back and look over this. You're going to want to begin to apply this in your life. I don't care how mature of a believer you are. These are good things to practice, because we can all get stagnant. We could all get stagnant. How many of us started off exercising and wore size 6? Women, I'm talking about size 6. Man, you know what I'm talking about when you had that physique and you knew you used to be able to pump and do so many sets and so much weight and you were in shape, and then all of a sudden you got lazy, you got lax, you went unconscious, and you begin to eat whatever you want to eat, and you begin to just not take time and exercise, and you begin to see your body transform. You begin to see your body turn into something else. And then you ask yourself one day, how did I get here? I believe we do the same thing in our spiritual walk. We could get complacent. You know, we're walking and we're going to church and we're going to Bible study and we're going to this conference and we're going to this seminar and we're fellowshipping with these people. And sometimes we could just begin to find ourselves being mundane. It becomes a ritual that we're doing. And we lost our luster. We lost our fire. And we begin, now we find ourselves paying attention to things. We start watching things that we normally wouldn't watch. We start going places that we normally wouldn't go. We begin to speak things that we normally wouldn't speak, because we're now beginning to see that there's something going on in the inside. So the first step we want to do to cleansing our mind is, first and foremost, let's do this. Let's stop waiting for an outside miracle to change our mind. Stop waiting for something on the outside to change your mind on the inside. Romans 12:2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, a lot of times we're looking at the world. We're saying we're believers, but a lot of times we're looking at circumstances and situations on the outside to dictate how we're going to respond on the inside. Amen? So, and that could be something as simple. You know, one of the big things, I'm going to use a big example that everybody's using right now. Politics. We as believers, why are we so consumed with politics? Donald Trump, being in the office, he's the president, maybe not making the greatest wise decision, but why are we allowing that to dictate who we are? or what we're going to do or what God said for us to do. That should not dictate, because what God has told us, spiritual supersedes the natural, and what God has told us is spiritual. And so that should not be a concern for us. We should not be so consumed waiting for, oh, if only we get a new president. If only this person, with Obama, would have stayed in the office. We're believers, and we're walking around doing that? No. That we need to be, we don't have to be conformed to this world. Amen. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we get renewed by our mind? Through the Word of God. Because that's God, the Word of God is the mind of God. Amen. So we need to start being renewed by our mind. Get away from what's going on in the world. Get away from what's going on in our circumstances and situations. Don't allow that to dictate who we are in Christ. Amen. Second step. Stop believing that you cannot control your thoughts. Whew, this is a hard one for me. I mean, I know it's not hard for you all, because I know you all are just totally in control of your thoughts. But, man, I tell you, I struggle daily. That's one of the things for me. I'm in constant warfare in my mind. I'm in constant warfare in my mind. And I have certain scriptures that I have to meditate on daily in order for me to get control, to take captive those thoughts. And so one of the scriptures is Joshua. It says, you shall meditate on it day and night. What is the it? What is the it? Find you the Word of God, and find the Word of God that applies to your circumstance, your situation, and begin to meditate on that Word day and night. Remember the scripture. Remember what that scripture is, and just meditate on it. For me, that scripture is Galatians. For me, it's one of my scriptures that I just hold on to, and I don't want to get into it now because it's going to play a part later on. But that's one I repeat daily, several times a day, and it helps me get through my days. It helps me to cast down thoughts and imagination, you know, because we can get consumed with this world. We can get consumed with our day-to-day. We can get consumed with our children or our bills or maybe our spouses, and we got to be careful of that, because we don't want to fall into idolatry. We don't want to fall into idolatry. We don't want to fall into getting into a mindset of fear or worry or doubt. Amen? So we want to find a scripture to meditate on it. You know, that's what Joshua is telling us to do. And then in Psalms 1:2 also tells us, you know, his laws, we meditate day and night. Meditating on the Word of God. Find that Word. Let's get it and meditate on it. Repeat it daily. Amen. Let it become your, for me, that becomes my motto. You know, this particular scripture, I'm constantly saying it. Step 3. What you feed your mind will become your mindset. What you feed your mind will become your mindset. I think if you've been following my show, I spoke on this often, saying it a different way, but basically what you give your attention to, that spirit will come and live inside of you. What are we paying attention to? What are we paying attention to? You know, sometimes I know when I'm spending too much time in the TV. You know, I try to avoid watching the news at all, because when I watch the news, it just, the negativity and everything that comes with the news becomes depressing for me. It gives me a burden. You know, my heart becomes heavy. And so I don't watch the news often. But there's other shows that we could watch that could become our mindset. We could begin to think a certain way. We're wondering, why I feel like this? Or why I think like this? Or why am I doing this? All of a sudden, you cussing. You got a spirit of cussing on you, and you're wondering, why am I cussing? That's never been a challenge before. I would challenge you. When you start seeing yourself operating in old behavior, or maybe even new behavior that's not something you're used to, step back, backtrack, and ask yourself, what have you been doing lately? What have you been doing a lot of lately? You could possibly backtrack 72 hours ago, and you'll start finding, oh, I spend time with such and such. Or, man, I sat up there and watched that movie. Or, man, I've been doing this. And it will always come back to, oh, that's what it is. Because whatever we whatever we feed our minds, it becomes our mindset. And Philippians, in Philippians 2, it tells us, let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you think about the life of Jesus, and we're trying to imitate that life, we're trying to be like Jesus, he always took time, not just once a day, throughout the day, he took time to separate himself. You know, he took time to go into prayer. He took time to get into his me time, his alone time. And it was this time with him and his Father where he sat and he just meditated and he spent time with his Father. And we need to begin to do that too. If you don't have a scheduled time throughout the day, whether it's the first thing, for me it's the first thing in the morning. But for some of us, it's late at night. It's in the evening. Some of us, it's midday. Whatever that time is, I would challenge you to set aside a time daily that is just you and God. And it ain't necessarily that you got to come asking him for nothing. I'm not saying that this has to be a time of prayer. It could be a time of worship. Worship and prayer is two different things. Prayer is you talking to God. Worship is God talking to you. A lot of times we spend a lot of time praying, and a lot of us are spending a lot of time praying, and we're wondering why our prayers are not being answered. But guess what? Your prayer had been answered months ago, but you won't be still long enough to go into worship so that you can hear God's answer to your prayer. If you're talking, and that's even in the natural, husbands, wives, when your wife is talking, and she's talking, and you already told her you had an answer to the problem, but she couldn't even hear you say you had an answer to the problem because she's too busy complaining about what the problem is. She's talking, she's not listening. She's not attentive listening. And some people don't, even some people that hear you, but that's not listening. Because I'm hearing you and I'm waiting for you to be quiet so I can say something. But listening says, I'm going to be still and let me really listen to what this person is saying. And God, through worship, is speaking to us. That's the time when he speaks to us, in those quiet times. How many has been woken in the mid-morning, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning? Something woke us up. I get that experience a lot. I really had a vivid experience a couple of days ago. And I'm just going to be transparent. And I was asleep. And all of a sudden, I was having this really way out dream. And I can't tell you anything about the actual dream. But I remember the number 4 popping up, like big, bright, just the number 4. And my first thought was, oh, gosh, I got to use the bathroom. I don't feel like getting up, going to the bathroom. You know how you're in that deep sleep. You don't even want to open your eyes, but your brain is going, you're thinking, but you're in that deep sleep, and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to come out of this, because if I come out of this and it's going to wake me up, then I may not be able to go back to sleep. But you know, you can feel your body saying, no, you better get up and go to the bathroom. And so anyway, needless to say, I turned over. And I picked up my phone because I wanted to see what time it was. Now, mind you, from the time I seen the 4 to the time I turned over and grabbed my phone to verify the time, it was about a 5-minute period. I know it's about 5 minutes because when I looked at my phone, it was 4:05. So when God woke me up in my mind, in my spirit, it was 4:00. 4:00 in the morning. I didn't know that, but I seen the number 4. And then I wanted to see what 4 meant. And that's a whole other thing. But reading the spiritual meaning of the number 4 spoke to everything that's going on in my life right now. And it was just amazing when God gives you confirmation, when you could get in the quiet time with him, that worship time where he's speaking to you, he's answering you. I have been concerned about some things. I am, you know, those who know me know I made a God move. I did a leap of faith. I jumped off the mountaintop, so to say. And when you jump off the mountaintop, you're trusting God, and you may not always see every detail step to every detail thing. And in the natural, you begin to worry. You begin to question, was it really God? God, did I hear you? You know, you go through all of this stuff, but God is so faithful. If you get into that quiet time of worship, I promise you, He is faithful. If you know you have a vertical relationship with God, if you know that you're praying, and you know that you're praying, you know that you're in the Word, and you get into those troubled times, and we will have troubled times, there's a place of worship that God will confirm to you. He will confirm His Word to you. Whatever it is He told you, He'll confirm it to you. Not just even in the quiet times, He'll confirm it to you in His Word. He'll confirm it to you through other people. Amen. When somebody comes and prophesies into your life, that should not be something new to you. How you know it's God is because it's confirmation. Reality demands confirmation, and God will send confirmation to what He's put on your heart or what He's given you. Amen? So, again, step three says feed your mind with, whatever you feed your mind with becomes your mindset. So we want to begin to change what we give our attention to. We want to have the mind of Christ according to Philippians 2. And Philippians 4 is telling us, you know, it lets us know, hey, finally, whatsoever things are true. We want to think on things that's true, things that are honest, things that are just and pure and lovely, things that are good of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. When we start thinking on good things, when we start thinking on positive things, when we start thinking on the promises of God and the Word of God and knowing that God watches over His Word to perform it so that it don't return into Him void, when you know and you believe that, then you know you can stand on His Word and He's going to watch over it to perform it. So when He says, greater is He in me than he that is in the world, that I believe that, because I believe that's the Word of God, and I believe He's working, that He's watching over that Word in me. Amen? So we're going to start feeding our minds different. We're going to think on different things. Step four, confess what you believe, not what you feel. Woo, hallelujah. When I got on tonight, I said to be enthusiastic, you have to act enthusiastic. It's not how you feel. You may have worked a 12-hour day. You are tired. The last thing you want to do is be enthusiastic because you don't feel like it. But guess what? Your life depends on it, because if you're married and you walk in that house and your family is waiting on you, your family is not expecting for you to walk through the doors with a bad attitude, carrying all the frustrations from the day of work. They're expecting for you to come through the door with a smile. They're going to ask you questions. They're going to want to love on you. They're going to want you to love on them. And you may not feel like it, but guess what? You need to do it. Sometimes we don't feel like getting up and praying. I don't feel like getting up in the morning sometimes and have my scheduled day with the Lord. That's the truth. That is the truth. I hear people say, I'm excited every morning to get up and get in my prayer time. No, sometimes I'm not excited about that. I don't feel like it. I don't feel good. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. But it doesn't matter how I feel, because I'm committed. See, that's the problem, what we see. Ooh, that's going to get me on something else. What we see in the world today, everybody's falling out of love. Everybody's divorcing. Everybody's breaking up. All we see is just going around. It ain't just going on in the world. It's going on in the body, too. We have more divorce in the body than we do in the secular world. Why? Because people are basing love on the feeling. I feel like we've outgrown each other. I don't feel like I love you anymore. You're not the same person that you used to be when I met you. And all those kind of feelings is causing people to be in divorce court. And love is not a feeling at all. Love is a decision. It is a commitment. And so when we understand the commitment and the decision that it takes, not just in love, but even in what we believe, when God said, I want you to start this business, and you begin the process of starting the business, and then things get rough, and you're looking, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to need X amount of dollars to get this business going, but I only got this amount of dollars. Or I don't feel like this may be successful. See, now you're going by your feelings, and when you go by your feelings, you're going to be setting yourself up for failure. So the Word of God is telling us, don't confess what you believe, not what you feel. So just because you see that oh, I don't know, I can't do this. But then you have to confess the word of God that says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And then you say, oh, but this. Then you find another word that says this, and you start confessing what you believe. Because Hebrews 11:1, our walk is not about, it's not about what we feel. We haven't seen God. It's not about what we feel. Our walk is faith. It's based on what we believe. It's a belief thing. Because it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, what we hope for, but the evidence of things not seen. See, right there, it's not what we feel or what we see, but it's what we believe. It's what we hope for. Amen? So confess what you believe, not what you feel. Step 5, resist negative thoughts. Assist positive thoughts. Again, we got to bring those negative thoughts into captivity. We got to stay conscious. We have to stay conscious. It's when we go unconscious that we do and say things that's out of character. It's when we see it all the time in the body. We see pastors, anointed men and women of God that are anointed. They're doing amazing things. They have, you know, altar calls on Sunday and have people coming up giving their lives to Jesus. They're doing the work. But all it takes is one unconscious moment to get yourself caught up, and we see it. Unconscious moment, that moment when the person decides, I'm going to hit this pipe. They haven't smoked dope in 40 years or 30 years, and all of a sudden they're doing great at the things of God, and they have one unconscious moment. That unconscious moment that you sleep with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. That unconscious moment that you lie about your taxes, those unconscious moments, those are only moments that could change our lives forever. Amen? So resist negative thoughts, assist positive thoughts. You know, Matthew even tells us, I believe it's Matthew 25, where it says that if you're thinking in your mind, you've already done it. So we got to constantly be casting down these thoughts in our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience in Christ. That's another one of my favorite ones, because we got to cast down those vain imaginations. The enemy will throw them at us. He'd be throwing them at us like fireballs. Have you ever had one of those days that you're trying to get through the day, and it seems like that whole day you have to constantly shut down the negative thought, the fear, the thought of fear? Oh, my gosh, you know, what if this? You know, you feel alone, or you feel this, or you feel that, and these negative thoughts just, begin to come, and you find yourself struggling, you're battling because you're trying to stay positive. So we got to stay positive. And why can we stay positive? Surround ourselves around other people that, you know, like-minded people, other believers. Have somebody that you have specific that you could pray with, that you could call and have a prayer partner. Have somebody that could speak the word of God over you when you can't speak it over yourself. Amen. Get that word in you and stand on that word. Have a good surround. Surround yourself with good people, people that are prayer warriors. You know, people that is standing on the word of God, people that you know that could stand in the gap for you. Step 6, celebrate the process. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Wow. Celebrate the process. See, I just gave you 6 steps to cleansing your mind. And sometimes we could get so weary because we feel like we're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing, and yet we don't see results. And God would have you to know on tonight, it's a process. Be committed to the process and celebrate the small steps. You don't have to wait till you get to the finish line to celebrate. You can celebrate the process of it. If you're running If you know football, I'll use that. I'll use the football as an example. You know, you have to make certain yards. You get to certain yards. You get to this yard. You get to this yard. You know, it's not often, it's not impossible, but it's not often that when the team, when the offense first get the ball, when they first catch the ball, that they're going to make it all the way down to a touchdown. It's not impossible. It has happened, but there's steps. And you got to celebrate. And every time they carry that ball a certain yardage, guess what they do? They're clapping. They're excited. The people up in the crowd is excited. Their teammates are patting them on the back. They're excited. Every little bit counts. Every little bit is getting them to that final destination. Every little bit. And so they're celebrating each moment. Each moment. And that's what God wants us to do in life. Celebrate each moment. When you wake up in the morning, that's a celebration. You're breathing. You're alert. You're aware. God's giving you another opportunity in this life to make decisions, to make good decisions. He gave you another opportunity to come before his throne of grace. He's given us opportunities to celebrate. Be thankful. When you get up, be thankful. When you wake up and you're in good health, be thankful. You're in good spirit, be thankful. Your children are safe, be thankful. You and your spouse are getting along, be thankful. Your bills are paid, be thankful. See, those are moments of celebration that we should be celebrating each moment. Yes, have you become that, you know, have you built that mega church you want to build? Have you built that business, that multi-million-dollar business that you want to do? Have you gotten there yet? No, you haven't, but that's okay. Celebrate the moments up to that point that you have a business, that you haven't had to close your door, that God is still making a way out of no way. Those moments of celebration, those are important. Those are very important to celebrate the process. Amen? And expect God to do what he said he's going to do. Expect God. Speak God's word back to him. He wants us to speak his word back to him. Because that is, again, I keep saying this, and one day some of us will get it. That light bulb will come on. God watches over his word to perform it so that it shall not return unto him void. So if he watches over his word to perform it, do we know what perform means? To act it out. To cause it to become, cause it to manifest. To perform it. So if he's watching over to cause it to manifest, to act it out, then we want to speak his word back to him. Amen? Now, I've given you the 6 steps to cleansing your mind. Now I want to just give you 6 good habits to maintaining a cleansed mind. 6 good habits to maintaining a cleansed mind. 1, start off your day in the presence of God. That's the best thing to do. First fruit of the day. You know, we talk about giving 10% is giving the first, you know, the first of your harvest. But the first fruit of your day, give it to God. Yeah, you might have to wake up a little bit earlier. I'm not saying you got to do 30 minutes. You don't have to do an hour or 2 hours. I mean, some people enjoy, you know, some people do that, and that's fine. That's their quiet time with God. That may not be yours. You may be willing to do 15, you know. Maybe it's 10 minutes that you want to get into a quiet place, away from the world, away from your family, just you and God, and just get into a quiet place and pray and be still and allow God to minister to you. I tell you, people that have that prayer life, a scheduled prayer life, they could tell you it helps them to get through their day. It helps them to overcome the battles that are waiting for them when they get on the other side of that door. So start off your day in the presence of God, prayer and worship. 2, schedule a time for the word. Now, prayer and worship is great, but you should have a scheduled time for the word of God, that you just sit down and you read the word of God. I'm not talking about studying the word of God, men and women of God, because that's me. I had a hard time, and I didn't take time to read God's word because I was always studying it. It's hard for me to read and not want to stop and dissect and chew on it. See, when I read the word of God, I want to sit down and munch on it. I want to chew it. You know, I want to chew it and digest it. And so studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God is two different things. Amen. And so I didn't realize that until about a month ago, and I went through a class. And in the class, the pastor said, he told me, I want you to just read the Word of God. Don't study. Don't start dissecting. Just begin to read it. And I was challenged to read 1 John, all 5 chapters for 30 days, every day. And I tell you, that was the most rewarding experience. It was really rewarding. I got a lot out of just reading the Word of God, just sitting there and reading it. And I would, oftentimes, it would be me and God. I had the opportunity to be able to have my quiet time and prayer and worship, and then I was able to follow that up with my word time where I would just sit and read loud. It was just me. It'd be me and God, and I would just read his word loud every day at a certain time, and that was rewarding. Number three, practice staying conscious. Practice, that's going to be hard, but practice staying conscious. What do you mean, Coach D? What I mean is stay focused. Listen to your mind, because you can control what comes out your mind what comes out your mouth, because you hear it here before you speak it out your mouth. It starts in your mind and then it comes out your mouth. So if you focus or practice staying conscious, then guess what? You'll find yourself not spurting off at the mouth, maybe saying things that you didn't really mean to say. You'll find yourself not doing things that you didn't want to do. See, what practicing staying conscious will do is cause you to have to not say sorry so much, because you keep saying sorry so much that you become sorry. Amen? And so if you practice staying conscious, then you'll find that you very rarely have to say you sorry. You very rarely have to say, oh, my apologies, because you're staying focused. You're staying conscious. And when you're staying conscious, you're going to make what? Conscious decisions. And conscious decisions are good decisions, God decisions. So practice staying conscious. Number four, cleanse and fast periodically. That's one thing that's not happening a lot in the body. You know, we go to a lot of things and do a lot of things. But, you know, the Word of God tells us that there's some things that we can't even get breakthroughs unless we're praying and fasting. So pray, you know, fast periodically. I even say cleanse, because you know what? When your body is messed up, it affects everything else. When we're not, and that's going to go into number five too, choose a healthy diet. When we're eating healthy and we're cleansing our bodies of the toxic, our natural bodies of the toxic, it gives us the freedom. It helps us to concentrate more. It helps us to focus more. Honey, when your body is in a toxic state and your body is going through ailments, it's hard for you to stay focused. It's hard to be conscious. It's hard to even get up and do your prayer time, because when you hurt in the flesh, it makes it difficult for you to do some things in the spirit. It really does. You can't do what God calls you to do in poor health. And we don't talk about that. See, we'll bring up every other sin. We'll bring up the sin of homosexuality. We'll bring up the sin of fornication. We'll bring up the sin of murder. But we very rarely, Christians, us good Christians, talk about the sin of gluttony. And we got a whole lot of obesity in the body of Christ. We got a whole lot of fat Christians walking around. I'm raising my hand. I'm sure I got some pounds I could lose. But we don't talk about gluttony. And one of the things is the first thing most of us do on Sundays after church is what? We go somewhere to meet up for brunch. Or we go home and we have that Sunday soul food meal and pig out and find ourselves sitting in front of the TV with our feet kicked up. See, we don't talk about that, but I'm telling you, that lifestyle of poor diet, the lifestyle of not cleansing, and fasting, because the fasting is spiritual. The cleansing is natural. That cleanses our body naturally. The fasting is spiritual. So in other words, if you're fasting and not praying, you're just cleansing. I'm going to say that again. If you're fasting without praying, you're just cleansing. So cleansing is in the natural. Add prayer to that, and you're in this fasting. Amen? So choosing a healthy diet was number 5, and number 6 is the last one, is exercise. We want to exercise. You know, you don't have to weight lift. You don't have to do 50 squats. You don't have to do 30 push-ups. But just exercise. You know, if it's a brief walk. I'm talking to myself here. I'm talking to myself. Hallelujah. I receive it in the name of Jesus. But even if it's just a brisk walk in the evening, you know, maybe you have a treadmill at home that became the place where your clothes gather. Every time you come out your clothes, you throw them on your treadmill. Take the clothes and put them in, hang them up in the closet. Fold them up, put them in your drawers if they're clean, and start using your treadmill. Put on your worship music. You know, your treadmill, just walk and put on your worship music. That may be a good quiet time for you. That may be a time that you could just walk and hear the word of God. You could do worship music. Now they have a Bible on audio. That may be a good time for you to put your earphones on and hear the word of God while you're walking on your treadmill. Amen. So these are the things that we could do to maintaining our cleansed minds. Again, start off in the presence of God in the first thing in the morning. 2, schedule a time for the word. 3, practice staying conscious. 4, cleanse and fast periodically. 5, choose a healthy diet. And number 6, exercise. So now that we know that there are steps to us getting cleansed, we learn the habits of keeping our minds cleansed. Once we get them cleansed, we set the 7 steps of cleansing our minds. Is stop waiting for outside miracles to change your mind. Stop believing that you can't control your thoughts. Remember what you feed your mind. It will become your mindset. Confess what you believe and not what you feel. Resist negative thoughts and assist positive thoughts. Celebrate the process and expect God to do all that he said he was going to do. Amen. Expecting God to do all that he said he was going to do. Most of the time we are doing these things, and praise God that we are, it's a process. I want us to know that it is a process. It don't just happen overnight, but we got to learn the things that we need to learn and the things that we need to do so that we can walk through the process. There are resources and tools that we could use to be able to walk through the process, amen, so we could be able to do all that God has called us to do. God told you to start a business. God may have told you to start a ministry. Whatever that thing is that God has given you, those dreams, visions, and ideas that he has given you to do, do them. Trust the process. It may start off slow, and you may it may take a couple of years. It may take a few years to get to where you need to be, but start. Step out and do them, and follow those steps to cleansing your mind, and then maintaining the cleansed mind. Amen? Maintaining the cleansed mind. If you are listening in tonight to this broadcast and you have any questions or comments, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. Amen. And if you are listening into the broadcast on tonight and you know that you've got your mind in a clutter, you've allowed your mind to be overtaken by the cares of this world, and you find yourself heavy burden, you find yourself just confused, you find yourself even questioning if you really even, if God is real, if you really even believe that God is real. If you are that person on tonight and you want to pray and you want to get back on track with God, you could dial 1 on your dial pad. We don't have to have the prayer in public if you would prefer. We could wait until after the call and you could dial 1 and then we could go into the green room. Amen. I don't want anyone to leave on tonight if you're struggling. Because you don't have to struggle. You are loved and you are appreciated, and you don't have to go through by yourself. A lot of times we go through stuff by ourselves because we don't want to tell nobody, or we don't want nobody to know what we're going through, especially men and women of God, people that are serving in leadership roles. We get tired and weary too. And a lot of times we won't go up to the altar. because we don't want people to be thinking, now, why is minister such and such going up to the altar? So a lot of times we'll struggle. We'll struggle in silence. Praise God if some of us get back on track, you know, naturally. But oftentimes the ones that are struggling in silence is the ones that we see messing up, and then we wonder what happened. Well, what happened is they didn't feel like they had anybody that they could go to talk to about it. Amen? So know that you that Coach D, even if you can't catch me on the show, most of you know how to reach me. I have pages. I have the Processing the Pain page on social media, Facebook. I have my my personal page. At any given time, you could send me an email at Coach D at mcdnetwork.org. Again, that's Coach D at mcdnetwork.org. You can send me an email, and I can email you back, or if you need a call, send me an email and send me your number, and I can give you a call back. I don't mind praying with you. I don't mind walking through the process with you. Amen. So, again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that what was spoken on tonight, that you've embraced it, that you will apply it, because remember, knowledge without application is nothing. It's just knowledge. You have to apply knowledge in order for it to become wisdom, and we want to be people of wisdom. We want to be men and women of wisdom. Amen. So, again, thank you for tuning in. I hope you tune in next week to another episode of Processing the Pain. And also on Wednesday evenings, if you're not doing anything, tune in to Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. We have a great lineup for the next 60 days. We are on a journey, and it's called WOW. It's WOW. We are on an 8-week journey to wisdom, an 8-week journey to wisdom. So each week we are bringing a key element that's going to help us get to that journey of wisdom. So we would love for you to join us if you have the time. Again, thank you for tuning in, and have a good evening. Know that you are loved and appreciated.
surrender.